You may have your seats in the house of the Lord. We are so glad to be here. I want to give a great shout out to Sokolowskis. They were founding members of our church. So glad to see you again. They were there from day one. Day one. So glad to be here, and our new guests. I want to thank all of our guests here for the first time and all of those who are online here in our series called James. We are studying the book of James. So if you have your Bibles ready, would you please get them out? And we're going to go over and we're going to go over through the word, and they would take the fog. I am not a ghost. So if you would pull down the fog a little bit, that would be awesome. We're going to start with James chapter 1, starting at verse 9. James chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Now, you know, right now we've got a lot going on in the world, and we are organizing a group of people to go to the Bahamas to try to help out. And if those of you are willing to help, from what I understand, they have enough supplies. They need boots on the ground. But I think we can oversupply. I think if you have water or anything like that, especially ladies, sanitary napkins, things like that for the young ladies, and water, we want to provide that for them. And also, if you're interested on going, just fill out on a connection card, and drop that off before you leave today, that you'd like to be a part of maybe the boots on the ground to help, when we go. We want to make sure that we do that. And if you want to donate a little bit extra for the Bahamas, so that we can go towards the Bahamas, let me know. You can put that also on a connection, on an offering envelope, and you can put that in as well. There's a lot of things going on in the world today, a lot of things happening. 1/4 of America, when we talk about the poverty in America, we talk about the World Bank defined extreme poverty as people living on less than $1 or less a day. That's extreme poverty. Around 1.85 billion people, or about 30% of the world's population, lived in extreme poverty. And that was by November 21st, 2018. Can you believe that? 1/4 of the world's population lives in extreme poverty. They live off of $1 a day. Some of us would faint if we couldn't have that cup of coffee that we wanted. Some of us would lose it, slap our supervisors, and kick a puppy if we could not get that $1 cup of coffee. 1/4 of all humans live without electricity. Approximately 1.6 billion people. Would you imagine going to church every Sunday with your good clothes on and your nice wear, and then you walk in the building and it's hotter than the center of the sun? How many would like some worship in that thing right now? It's crazy, but that's the reality in this world. We went to Kenya, man. They didn't even have floors in the church. They were dirt, and sometimes the rain would wash it away. So you had to watch where you jump, because you might shout right into a hole. It is true. No windows on the buildings. Nothing like that. And the goat you caught was the goat you ate. That's how it worked. They also estimate about it, it would take 6 billion annually to end extreme global poverty. But watch this. That's less than 1/4 the income of the top 100 richest billionaires. It would end world poverty. And I think this is an apropos intro to the book of James that we're going to cover today, because I need you to identify where you are in the 1/4. Write this down. Where am I in that 1/4? We're going to begin with the apostle James, the brother of Jesus, also the brother of Jude, who wrote the book of Jude. He's the eldest of Jesus's younger brothers, and he's writing to the church universal. He calls it the diaspora. So all the churches that are both local and abroad that have been scattered around the world. So there's no signification of one denomination or another. So you could be from Episcopalian, you could be Presbyterian, you can be Baptist, you could be Pentecostal, Holiness, Church of God in Christ, you know, Church of God written in heaven on the Thursday, risen again and again and again in Jesus' name, whatever the name of your church is. You can be from any one of those churches and James is still talking to you. So he begins with this passage in verse 9. And we're down to verse 9 now. And it says these interesting words. It says, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a hard thing to wrap your mind around. Believers who are poor have something to boast about because God's honored you. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of get this because everybody didn't grow up with a silver spoon in their mouth. And thank God we didn't know what silver was. Many of us, we shared shoes, socks, pants. We wore the elder clothes. We didn't care. We were running in the streets. We were happy. We were eating gravy bread and thought it was the best thing ever. Hello, can I hear somebody out there? Your mama would make something and you're like, you know, that way I can't wait for my mayonnaise and cheese sandwich. It is off the. You didn't even know that people put ham on a ham sandwich. You're like, I got me a ham sandwich. Where's the ham? What do you mean ham? Ham? God has honored most of us so we could appreciate even the smaller things, the small things in life, to enjoy it. And the Bible says that the poor are with us always. They'll always be on the earth for whatever the reasons. But God has honored the poor. And where is he honored them? The Bible says the poor have great faith. When you go to another country without the hospital features that we have in the U.S., when they get sick, they don't run to the hospital, they run to prayer. And God has honored their prayers. And wouldn't it be great if we would do the same thing? The only reason we don't is because we have so many hospitals and urgent cares. But the Bible says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that when you're poor, you gotta suffer here and then you get to heaven. No. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is here on earth. So blessed is the poor in spirit. What does that mean? When you are poor in spirit, that means what does a poor man do? He goes, I just want to get something to eat. Can you help me please? Listen, every day he walks out to that same corner. Can you give me something? Because I know, by the time I end from this corner, I'm going to have what I need. I know that if I ask enough people, then I'm going to get what I want. A man poor knows how to ask and knows how to get. But what if we were poor in spirit? Meaning we come to God. God, I know you know what I need. Every day I come before you, you're going to give me what I ask for. I know I can't survive without you. I'm poor in spirit, but I know if I ask you, you said the kingdom of heaven belongs to me. Some of us today are too rich in the spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, how much money you got in the spirit? Listen, God doesn't need that. He needs poor people in the spirit, meaning that you lean on him with what you need. It doesn't matter whether you got $1 million in your bank account. You lean on God for everything that you need. You can make it $2 billion, $3 billion, but you know where it comes from. Lean. Come on, tell your neighbor, just lean on God. A man that's poor in the spirit isn't afraid to ask. They don't have pride. Pride that keeps them dying. Hello, somebody. You know the people that they're so proud they can't even ask for help. Not for God's people. He says, blessed are the poor. God has honored them. Why? Because they have no shame asking God for help. They're not going to sit up there, look pretty and die. Man, that's all the women, that's a waste of mascara. You go, I look good. Come on, somebody. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. That quote came from the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But then he goes on and says these words. Verse 10, he moves on to verse 10. Blessed are the attentive in spirit. Thank you so much. Would you read it with me? God blesses. No, bro, no. We're in James chapter 1, verse 9. Now 10, as they said. James chapter 1, verse 10. James chapter 1, verse 10. That was just a coincidence. Here we go. Read it with me. Go. Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. Those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them? And then he goes on to say they will fade away like the little flower in the field? What's there to boast about? By fading in the field. I want you to think about that. Why would James, the apostle of our faith, to all the churches make a claim like that? Blessed are those who are rich should boast, brag about it, that God humbled you. For they were fade like a little flower in the field. Well, first of all, it's very important to understand the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ and he said to him, hey, Jesus, I'm a good man. I've been following the law since I was a kid and I'm watching you and your disciples. And I like what you're doing. I like all the way you're impacting the community. I love the way you speak, man. And I love that long hair. It matches the beard. I like it. And he walks up to Jesus and said, hey, listen, tell me if I'm doing everything right. I'm following. And Jesus said, okay. What do you mean? He says, tell me if I'm doing everything I need to do to get to heaven. He goes, okay, keeping commandments? Yeah, I've been doing that since a kid. Okay, obeying your mother and father? Absolutely. Okay. Keeping the Sabbath day? Since I was a baby. And then Jesus said, okay. And the Bible actually said Jesus loved him. He loved, because the man was telling the truth. Rich young ruler. He says, okay, there's one thing you lack. Give up everything you have and give it to the poor. What you talking about, Jesus? You ever had God ask you for something you weren't expecting? And you're like, whoa, I didn't ask you about that, God. I asked you about this. I was talking about going to heaven. You talking about stuff on earth. I wasn't talking about that. Let's get back on topic. said, one thing you lack, give up your money, give it to the poor, and follow me. Now, why would he say that? Because he knew. See, listen, I always tell people, don't ask God a question you ain't ready to get the answer for. I've had people come to me, prophet, bishop, man of God, would you pray for me? I want to hear what the Lord hath to say for my life. And, you know, I'm like, okay, no problem. And I pray, and I tell them something they don't want to hear. I ain't going back to that church, man. That's a false prophet. False prophet. I have nothing to gain. You asked. And if you're going to ask God something, you better be ready for God to give you an answer. The reason people get shocked is because they think they're not valuable enough. They think this stuff is a game. And when God answers you just like that, they get shocked. That rich young ruler said, what'd you say? Give it all up and follow me. The boy couldn't even speak. He just looked at the disciples sitting there, eyeball, all eyes on him, knowing he got all that money in his pocket. And he was like, could you imagine that? Didn't even say a word. Just walked away. How many of us, we don't even argue with God no more. We just walk away. He said, when he did it, that Jesus looked at him and said, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He says, man, it's going to be hard with all that money. Why? Because money does nothing more than make your worst sins worse. If you ain't got a grip on Christ, money will pull out the worst of you because it'll give you the ability to have access to it. That rich young man loved security. He was living right. But what he wanted more than anything else was security. And when you follow Christ, you got to give that up too. And he says these words to that man, it's hard because all of these temptations are hitting the rich of the believers. We have tons of believers that have wealth and money, yet they hold on to it. They're not willing to give to the kingdom. They're not willing to give to those who need it. They hold on to it because they say, I worked for it. I earned it. It's mine. But how many know everything everybody gets comes from God? Why do you think he chose you? He chose you to be wealthy that you might give. Romans talks about that he who has money, let him give. Let him give with attitude of, it's behind my back. Let my right hand not know what my left hand's doing. Let not everybody, I don't have to slap my name on a building for me to give so that the building may grow. I don't need to put my name on a pew for the pew to be built. No, I give because there's a need and I was built to give to the need. We talk about the fact that we bought that building over there and we announced it on Mother's Day. And I'll never forget, there was a Fortune 500 company man in the building on Mother's Day. And I said, God told me, announce it and raise the money on Mother's Day. Worst day ever. Everybody brought their mama and they looking to go get something to eat. And I'm trying to do a fundraiser on Mother's Day. You should have seen the mothers look at me. I am not going to McDonald's. I am not going. But he told me to do it. And when we got it back, we got $1,000 out of our church. Mac, we needed $89,000. I told the church, we need $89,000. We got $1,000 that day. Broke my heart. But the Lord said, didn't I tell you to do it? Yes, you did. And so I had to encourage myself in the Lord. And I went into the word and I saw in the word, it says that the kingdom of heaven doesn't come by observance. The kingdom of heaven is in me. Wait a minute. So whoa, that was like a revelation. Hold on. So you mean to tell me that I can't look at my bank account to determine how rich I am? I can't look at what they give to tell how rich I am. I can't look at the outside external thing to know how wealthy I am. But because I'm rich in faith, the kingdom of heaven is in me. So all I got to do is use that same faith and release it. So I said, hey, I command the money to come for Frontier Church, because we want the building for our youth. And my phone rang at home. No, my wife came home. Wife came home, gave me a card. Well, I didn't know. She said, oh, this guy gave me this card, told you to call him. Picked up the card. I said, I don't know who it is, but let me call him because, you know, maybe something's wrong. He says, this is my first time flying in from Michigan. We had heard about your church, but I flew in on Michigan, and it just so happened to be Mother's Day. I was sitting up in the balcony. And he says, when I was sitting up there and you gave the call, God called me to tell you, I heard the Lord tell me, whatever the church doesn't give, you give the rest. He says, what the didn't give, I'll give to you. Boom, building bought in one day. Why? Because a rich man didn't count his riches as what was in his bank account, but what was in his heart. Come on, somebody. So the Apostle James is saying, listen, I need you to understand, there are those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them, because there was one point in their life, it was all about the dollar. It was all about the money. It was all about, you know, survival and looking good and having the best car, eating at the best restaurants, dressing with the best clothes. You couldn't wear Walmart socks. No, sir. You couldn't go to Goodwill. That was a curse. Your clothes had to be actually made by somebody you never saw. You had to eat with the most popular people. You had to go to the most expensive restaurants. Bump Starvos. Starvos don't even exist in your vocabulary. And God humbled the person through trial and tribulation. It didn't say they lost their money. It says God humbled the rich. Meaning, at some point, they came to understand people are important. Not bitcoins. Not dollar bills. See, let me say this to some of you. God is a jealous God. And he will have no other gods beside him. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. When our jobs become the most important God in our life, and we become workaholics, a loving God will take your workaholic ways away. He might shut down the business. He might shut down the job. You'll lose the opportunity, and you're going, why? I was so wealthy. I had it going on. But you were on your way to hell. And you can't buy a can of soda in hell. He says these words. Now listen, the reason God humbled them is because they were fade like a flower in a field. I had a guy tell me the other day, we were having trouble with the building and the builder. And the builder was doing some corrupt things to Frontier Church, and we had to stand up for it. And that's what the delay has been since we started maybe 2 years ago. It wasn't because we didn't have the money. The money's been in the bank account. We stopped paying because the guy was doing some things that were corrupt. And when we finally got it going again, one of the guys who worked for him said, well, you know, I had to make a decision. Do I give, you know, do I do what you want? Or do I do what he wants? Because, you know, he makes me about $1 million a year. Then I said, you better treat God right first. I said, because men fade like flowers. One day we're here, sun comes out, and another day we're gone. If that man becomes your God, he will take that man from you. And every man's heart will be tested. Whether you got a ton of money or a little money, every man's heart will be tested. Saints, why am I telling you this? Because James is trying to get us all to really understand when you're poor, that's not a negative if you're rich in faith. And if you're rich, it's not a negative if you're rich in faith. The reality must be that you put God always as the first of your life. That no matter what, even the little widow with the Bible calls her with the widow's mite. She had just about a little bit left in her hand. And when she gave, you couldn't even hear it drop into the bucket. But Jesus says she gave more than everybody else. They gave out of their abundance. She gave out of all she had. She didn't have anything, but yet she still gave. Some of you in this room, you have counted yourself as too poor to give, and you miss out that Jesus is waiting for one of you to believe what he said when he said, if you give even the little that you have, you'll be given like a rich man. Hello, somebody. You won't come out of poverty until you start using faith, until you start believing. Even if you got a dollar and you give 30 cents, that 30 cents is worth more to God than you could ever use to go buy you something. Use your faith. Use your faith. The just shall live by their faith. You can't do it another way. You rich or poor, if your faith ain't alive, you're dead on the water. The moment you were transformed, the moment you became a new creature in Christ, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are living off a new wine. You are living off a new oxygen. You are living off a new spirit. That spirit requires faith. You can't go back to the way you used to live. Sometimes some of y'all never been told. You're still trying to make it work without God. You can't do it. You look at your neighbor and say, use your faith. No, they didn't believe you. I can promise you. Look him in the eyes and just say it like you're mad at him. Use your faith. Turn the other side and said, use a mint. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Now, he said they would fade away like a flower in a field. Underline that word, flower in a field. And I'm going to take you somewhere. We talked in the beginning about there's one fourth, interesting facts about one fourth. But there's four types of people in this room. Did you know that? In every church, leaders, business owners, teachers, I need you to understand this principle. No matter where you go, there are always four types of people wherever you go. Please write that down. Four types of people. Jesus explains who they are. Now, for those of you who go to church and you rate a church based on how many members stay or go, you need to hear this most of all, because you're rating it the wrong way. The way you rate a church is, there is a person being discipled. Are they growing? Are they submitting? Are they becoming more servant-like? Not whether you're busting out of the seams. Those things are great. But that's like having people over your house all the time. It wears off after a while, right? Y'all catch that in a minute. Here's what Jesus said. This is coming from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Please listen to me. This is going to be life changing for some of you. James is letting us know that the rich can lose their focus with money, become stingy and lose their way. The poor needs to rejoice that they're exalted when God comes through for them. You need to acknowledge when God does it. And then Jesus says, when he's speaking of the rich, they're like that flower that dies in the field. Let's go to another field. And here it is. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd gathered around him, so he got into a boat. And he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. Verse 11. And he taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. And he said this, "Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed." Okay, next verse. "As he scattered it across the field, what happened? Some seed fell where? On the footpath, the walkway. He sowed it, and some fell on the footpath. And the birds came and ate it. Other seed he was sowing fell on shallow soil and underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. Since it didn't have deep roots, it died. The other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant so they could produce no grain. 8, still other seeds fell on fertile soil and they sprouted and grew and produced a crop that was 30 and 60 and even 100 times as much as what has been planted." Everyone heard this before? Heard this parable before? Okay. Now, then he says, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Now, when I first heard this parable, what I picked up was like there are four stages that a person goes through, and I don't want to be stuck in the choking stage or be the guy on the rock stage, but I got to grow and be the guy in the 30, 60, 100. I've always read it like that it's progressive, and I need to, and I was absolutely wrong. Let's go to the next verse. Later, when Jesus was alone and with the 12 disciples and with others who were gathered around, they asked him, "Man, what were you talking about? I don't understand that parable. What did it mean?" 11. Let me hit an important point here. When you don't understand something your leader has said, don't leave. Ask. Oh, can I hear an amen on that one? There are too many people in the church that lack understanding, and they go, "I don't understand that, I'm gone." Jesus lost 77 disciples because he said, "Unless a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he will have no part with me." 77 said, "I don't get that. I'm outie. That sounds creepy. That sounds like cannibalism." They did. And they all left. And then he turns to the 12 that he'd been pouring into and said, "You gonna leave me too?" And they said, "Where are we going to go? You have the words of life. I may not understand." Here's something I learned about God. "I may not understand, but that does not mean there is no understanding. Don't you move when you don't understand. Ask so you can understand." Watch what he says. He says, and the others were gathered around him and asked him what the parables meant. Verse 11, and he replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven." He was saying to them that in this season of their life, only by the reception of the Holy Ghost can you understand him. The Bible says spiritual things are discerned spiritually. And he says, I've got to speak this way because if they could understand what I was saying in the spirit, they would be able to turn on their own. But only the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he will turn men. So I speak to them in parables. Watch what he says. Next verse. Then Jesus said unto them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how would you understand the others? Ladies and gentlemen, what he was saying here is, if you haven't started your journey on trying to understand what he means, you're going to have a trouble understanding the rest of the Bible. You got to get into his word. You can't wait for a preacher to tell you one day out of the week. What you going to do the other six? We are a supplement. We are complement. We are not the what makes you live. Jesus is your life. Jesus is the one that keeps you during the week. He knows your flaws. He knows your strengths. He wants you to go to him and bow to him. Get in your secret closet and talk to your father. Learn of him. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm not telling you to godify a pastor or godify a church. Godify God. He is your author and the finisher of your faith. We are here to equip you to do what he called you to do. That's it. Don't call me 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm just kidding. If you have to call, call Chanita. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let's read the next verse, shall we? What's the next verse say? Read it out loud. Hold on. Okay. So read that again, please. I want to hear it. Read it nice and slow. Okay. Who is the farmer? Who's the farmer takes the seed, plant seeds by taking God's word to others. So the person sowing the seed is me. Okay. Now I need you to understand something. It is not my job to determine where I throw the seed. Because if it was up to me, I throw it in that field with the 30, the 60, and the 100. But that's not what the Bible says. He said the sower went out to sow and he threw the seed. Where? Where was the first place? Read on. The seed that fell on the footpath. When he sowed it, he didn't say, don't throw it over there. He threw it on the footpath. Purposely. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those, watch this, who what? Only to have. This is a group of people. He knew that's a type of person that I can throw you the seed, but if you're not willing to change your environment, you leave church and you still got plans to go partying later. You leave the church and you say, I'm going to go right back among the people who got so full of evil, so full of devilry, so full of sin that the moment I get back around them, I may have gotten the word, but the moment I get there, they're going to take that thing from me. God says, love your enemy. You get around there, someone's going to slap you right in your face. And you're going to go, oh, there goes that word. That's a person who was in position to receive the word. Are you the one that takes the word back into the devil's territory? The devil comes like a bird and snatches the seed up. Because you holding down in your hand like this. La 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 la. I just went to church. I just went to church. Oh! I'm shocked. Nobody's shocked. Don't be shocked. You can't have your seed out here saying, I went to church and it ain't in here. You got to plant that thing on your heart, not hold it out in your hand. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Look at me. Oh. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Turn the other side and say, hey, you dropped your seed. That's one group of people. Ask yourself, are you just holding it out there so people can think that you're real? Because you ain't fooling me either. I'm glad you're here, but you're here to hear this. Don't fake the funk, is what I say. If you're going to be stanky and cranky, then be real. Don't cover it with deodorant. Hello, somebody. If you're going to go to hell wholesale, not retail. Hello, somebody. If you're going to be in my church, don't be a sheep, be a wolf all down to your bones. Let me see your teeth. At least I know how to handle you. Whew. That's the first kind of person. And we have wolves that come in our church. They will prey on our choir. We got pretty women and handsome men, and they'll be up there taking pictures. I'm just praising the Lord. Get that camera away from that man. We know you're obvious. We've had predators who try to come on our property. They almost didn't make it off. They start following our young girls and all our big men like, bro. No, sir, you got to go. We protect our women and children. We protect our wives. No, sir. You listen, if you want to change, you change. But you ain't going to be touching one of our young ones. You ain't going to be messing with none of our children. No, sir. You want to take away a husband from his wife? You're going to have a problem with us and the women of this church. You want to take a wife from a husband? You're going to have a problem with the brothers of this church. We don't play that. Take your seed and go. Boom. Somebody say for real. All right. That's the first group. You can change in Jesus' name. Number two, listen to what he says. Who's the next group? Let's read on. Read on. He said the seed on rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Hallelujah! Oh, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! And they run around the town. But since, everybody say, but since, they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. Stop right there. Anybody know any Christians that shot it was like, phew, they're the shining star and something happened to them and they just fade. Psst. Watch this. They don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems. I want you to ask yourself, what soil, which one are you? When your bills don't get paid, do you lose your faith? Do you lose your religion? Is this you? Is this really you that you get a root, you get excited about God's word, you want his word, but because you won't read and get deeply rooted as a Christian in his word, when trouble comes into your life, you panic. And when you panic, you act like, God, you don't love me no more. Why you let this happen to me? And all God's saying is, if you use my word, you can reverse it. Because the just shall, you have the power to change it. But yet you're taking all your power and fussing. they fall away as soon as they have problems or persecuted for believing God's word. Why? Because they want to be accepted. You remember when Peter denied Christ three times? They said, aren't you the one? Weren't you with Jesus? You sound like him. No, not me. Let me prove it. They're like, dog, you must not be with Jesus. And we want to be like everybody else to hide. When is the day coming where you'll be ashamed? You will not be ashamed of Jesus, your Lord. I'm speaking to you in this room. You will hide your faith because you're scared people will know you're a Christian. That way you can't keep doing what you've been doing. Can I share a testimony? This week, I went over to Dollar General over here. And I was getting a soda. And a man came up to the counter. And he was drunk. And he says, man, thank God for Pabst Blue Ribbon. It... Woo, this Pabst Blue Ribbon and saved my life. And there's a lady behind me, a lady at the counter. And I said, so there ought to be something in us. I goes, I said, sir. No, sir. He looked at me. I said, Pabst Blue Ribbon didn't save your life. I said, the only reason you're alive today is because Jesus has given you a chance to repent. Change your ways. Because he loves you. He's kept you alive. And I started talking to him. I said, have you? And he goes, and he looked at me and he says, I want to change my life. Who would have known he was that close? So I said, here's how you can find Jesus. And the lady behind the counter is going, do you feel that? Oh, the hairs on my arms. Something's happening around here. And they said, do you feel that? Lady behind me was like, yeah, I feel that. What is that? Well, the Holy Ghost. Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of salvation. To a drunk man at the Dollar Tree. But are we persecuted? And say, I don't want to say nothing about my faith because people are going to look at me funny. You got to come out of that. That's a lifestyle. That's the second type of soil. Third type. And then we're almost done. Third type. Read. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear... But all too quickly, the message is crowded out. Wow. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Look at this. They hear the word. They come to church every weekend. But as soon as they walk out that door, they're fussing by the time they get to the car. Because they wonder how I'm going to survive. What about the money this week? Bills. I got to be rich. So, you know, if I'm going to be a provider for my home, that means I got to give up something. That means I have to give up church and God. And I got to work because, you know, I got to hold on. God always comes first. Then your spouse. And if you got kids, then kids. Then your job. Then ministry. But what happens here is that we flip the script and we put the job at the top until God humbles the rich. Look at this. The lure of wealth. Not even that you're going to get rich. One more dollar. I'm going to win this lottery. I'm going to win this one. I'm going to drive to Georgia. I'm going to win that one. And you going into debt dollar by dollar. Instead of trusting God to make you rich and the richness that no man can take away. You can't live like that. Live like faith of people of faith. You can't live trying to think, how's it going to be rich quick? You're the one that get online where they say, hey, this Google ad, you can sell from home and you'll make $500 a week. No, you won't. How many ever seen those get rich quick things? You know, I learned my lesson a long time ago. I'm not going to take much more time. We're almost done. I remember years ago, I was in college, and I said, you know what? I need to get some money. I saw an ad that said $500 a week. Come in for the interview. Doesn't even tell you what it is. I'm like, whew, let me get there. Wore my suit, walked up in the place, and there's all these young people sitting around, but I'm the only one with a three-piece suit. I know I'm going to get this job. I'm sitting there, and the next thing you know, I'm hearing all this noise. Ah, yeah! Ah, yeah! Let's do it! Ah, I'm thinking, man, this company is hyped. And then all of a sudden, they come out of this door. Yeah! Hey! And they start shaking. Everybody's saying, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? They go off into another room. Woo! And they're all excited. I'm like, man, I would love to work for a company excited like this. And so they start assigning people to people. And then they call me in. You want to make money? Yeah. All right. What I'm going to do, I'm going to assign you to this guy. The dude looked like... What's that guy? You remember Gallagher that used to hit them watermelons? You know, a skinny guy with this long mullet on every side. And he was like, you go with him. Skinny jeans. The socks were like. And I went with him, right? And I'm thinking, we've been $500. We get in the car. He says, we're going to go over to this side. And we're driving. A half an hour goes. An hour goes by. I'm not saying nothing because the money looking good. An hour and a half goes by. We cross the state border. I'm getting nervous. He says his trade is he's a magician. I mean, he's going to make me disappear. We finally get to a gas station, our first stop. I say, tell me, what are we selling? He says, let me show you. And he took a sheet from the back, whoosh, Encyclopedia Britannica. All I could say was, he got me. I waited until I made it back home, and I never went after those things again. I said, you got to watch people trying to make you. If they try to make you make a decision fast, watch it. Tip. Watch this last one. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the leer of wealth, and desire for other things, so no fruit. Fruit in the Bible is people. You don't have any friends. You don't have anybody around you because you're so worried about all this. Verse 20. But the seed that fell on good soil represents those. You see that? Those. So we had three groups of people that didn't hear it. But there is a group in this room. The seed fell on that good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. I don't know which group you're in. Leaders, when you're on your job, you will have 1/4 of your team doing most of the work. They say in church, 20% of all people do the work because they're the 30, 60, 100. My goal for you is to repent of every other field and come over to the plentiful one. I don't know where you are, and I'm not going to tell you where you are. But some of you, we know, are in the wrong place. And my request to you is to give up those other areas and come that you may produce fruit. Would you stand to your feet, please? whether you're rich or poor, there is no respecter of persons. We've lost rich people out of our church because we wouldn't honor them like they thought we should. We lost poor people out of our church because they thought everybody in here got to have money, so I guess I'm automatically not included. Foolishness. You are what you are to Jesus. And he is no respecter of persons. If you're here today and you recognize that perhaps you've been living that lifestyle in one of the other fields because you don't see the fruit in your life, and you can identify with one of these other fruit fields, it's not that the word didn't get to you. It's how you handled the word when it got to you. I want you to take a moment, if everyone would bow their heads. I'm not going to ask you to make any moves forward. You can do it from where you are. I want you to just say to God, God, I repent. I recognize that I'm in one of those fields I shouldn't be. And I don't want to be counted among the failures. I want to be a child of faith. And Lord, today, I will listen to your word and apply it to my life. I will stop carrying wounds, grudges, unforgiveness, desiring the riches of this world over my God, my family, and the church. Forgive me, cleanse me today, that I will flow either as a 30, 60, or 100-fold producer. God, I thank you that you've heard my prayer and you are a forgiving God. And while your heads are still bowed, if you're among us and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you a chance to do that today, because the enemy is going to try to snatch this word out of you. That's why we say, if you hear him today, take him today. Because when you walk out of here, he's going to come and try to snatch this word out of your life. But if you let Jesus in your heart, he can protect the word that's in your life. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three and ask that you lift your hands and say, I want to be born again, and I want God's Spirit to live within me. On the count of three, one, two, three. Lift your hands if that's you. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one that wants to be born again? One. Amen. Amen. Put your hands down. If you're here and you're saying, I need a church home that's going to tell it to me straight, love me enough to tell me the truth, come after me and help me to be all that I can be in God, I want you to come and be a part of Frontier Church and make God's name great, because you are part of God's story. And if you need a church home, I want to invite you on the count of three to come down to this altar and join Frontier. On the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hand if you want to join Frontier Church. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Amen. Awesome. I couldn't see very well, but I'm going to put this like this, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard the word. You've heard where you are. You heard the encouragement of the Lord. You can find life if you let the Lord in. Don't let the world choke it out of you. Don't let the devil take it from you. And don't let trouble make you doubt your God. Trust him. Get some root in you, and God will show you what he can do. We are not a monument here at Frontier Church. We are a movement. And what you see today, I will not be the same tomorrow. because we grow line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God raises us up, and I invite you to be a part of that journey. Here's what I want you to do before we close. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, join me on the fertile field. Join me on that prosperous field. Turn to your neighbors. Look them in the eyes. Join me on that prosperous field. Amen. Thank you, those who are online and those who are with us. I'm going to bless you before we leave. And remember, if you want to get a part of the Bahama trip, want to be part of that. And also, we have Discovery Class right after this. Which one are we in? Discover where is today, where you fit best. Would you raise your hands and let's bless you as we get ready to go. Bathrooms are operational out in the foyer, just so you know. Okay. We're still working to get it done, but those are ready. Father, I bless the church and the people under the sound of my voice that your love and passion is heavy upon them. Teach them to walk with you in that fertile field, that they will see the fruit of their own life because they trust in you. Thank you for the book of James. Thank you for the book of Exodus we're reading. And thank you for your word. For your word is truth and it is life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hug your neighbor before you go. And I'll see you next week. Amen.